And we welcome you to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow is May the 4th, and tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m., the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra is presenting its next concert, and it is a concert titled May the 4th Be With You, and will feature a plethora of wonderful movie music, including music of John Williams from the Star Wars franchise. And I am really excited to be able to spend part one of today's morning show talking about tomorrow night's concert with three gentlemen very much involved with it, starting with Peter Rodriguez, who is president of the board of directors of the Kenosha Symphony and also a member of the French horn section. We're going to find out from him about some general matters related to what promises to be a very exciting concert. Later, we'll be talking with the conductor of the concert, Maestro Robert Hasty, and we'll also be hearing from the symphony's concertmasters, Sasha Mandel, who is going to be performing the Schindler's List violin solo that is, of course, one of the most beautiful, radiant things that John Williams ever composed. But first, Pete Rodriguez, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. Good to talk to you again.
It might be worth spending just a few moments talking about what I think for most people is fairly obvious by now, but for the sake of anybody who might not be a Star Wars aficionado, explain why tomorrow night's concert is titled May the 4th Be With You, and sort of the idea behind the concert's approach.
Sure. When we were planning this concert roughly a year ago, we realized the concert was going to fall on May the 4th, and the title ties into one of the themes in Star Wars, where characters tell each other, may the Force be with you.
So it's become kind of an unofficial Star Wars holiday of sorts. And I know I, for one, always wear one of my Star Wars ties on May the 4th, whatever day it might be. And, of course, it's a great excuse to play some music from Star Wars and from some other great film scores as well. As a member of the orchestra, tell us what a concert like this is like. I suspect that maybe some people in the audience jump to the erroneous conclusion. I assume it's an erroneous conclusion that just because you're not playing some Beethoven symphony, that this is actually an easy gig for the symphony, relatively easy music to play. I suspect it's actually a bit of a challenge.
You're right. It is rather challenging. The music from Star Wars, and we're actually doing two suites from Star Wars, one from the original Star Wars movie from the 1970s, as well as the more recent Phantom Menace. They're both very challenging for both, especially the brass section. And as a brass player myself, I know I have to pace myself when it comes to music like this, but the payoff is the music is especially exciting for us to play. So whether it's Beethoven or John Williams, it's an amazing thing that we're able to put this together.
We're going to dig into some specifics in terms of the program with Maestro Robert Hasty, but maybe you can give us at least a partial rundown of some of the great films that we will be sampling over the course of tomorrow night's concert.
Sure. Another suite that we're doing is from Raiders of the Lost Ark, also by John Williams, roughly from the early 80s, if I remember correctly, but even more recently, that franchise has continued. We're also doing, as you said, selections from Schindler's List, another composition by John Williams, as well as Mozart's 25th Symphony from the movie Amadeus and Batman.
A wonderful lineup, you and I are talking, actually recording this interview on Wednesday morning, So by no means has the orchestra deeply rehearsed all of these pieces yet, but I should think that a concert like this is incredibly fun, if challenging, for the orchestra to play.
We start rehearsals on Thursday.
So as we're hearing this interview Friday morning, rehearsals will have just begun, and I should think you have to have all hands on deck and really working hard to pull it all together. Tell us about what this whole season of the Kenosha Symphony has been like.
Well, it's been, to be honest with you, it's been a mixed set of emotions that we've had, because normally we do 4 concerts a year. And this year we had to make a difficult decisions to go down to 3. I'm hoping next year we'll be able to go back to our usual 4 concerts. But of course, we rely on the support of our sponsors and the Kenosha community. So if you're able to donate, that would definitely help us. But yeah, it's been a very satisfying year. We did Beethoven 3 back in the fall. We had a Christmas concert that was sponsored by our fabulous sponsor, Snap-on Incorporated, and many, you know, over 300 people came to that, so we're especially excited that we were able to do that for the community.
And now finishing out in this really, really exciting fashion with this cavalcade of great film music. So if people are interested in attending tomorrow night's concert, what do they need to do in order to secure tickets?
Yes, we can. You can go to KenoshaSymphony.org to purchase a ticket. That will send you to a link through Eventbrite. You can also come to the door and purchase a ticket there, either through cash or a credit card. Tickets are $30 for adults and free for students and children.
Very good. Well, it promises to be a really, really exciting concert. I hope a lot of people will make a point of making their way to Reuther High School Auditorium tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m., for a concert that's going to include all kinds of spectacular film music. And one of the talented musicians on the stage playing as part of the French horn section, Pete Rodriguez, president of the board. Pete Rodriguez, thank you for joining me today on the morning show. Best wishes with tomorrow night's concert.
Thank you, Greg.
Listening to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD, I'm Gregory Berg. And tomorrow night, on the podium, conducting the Kenosha Symphony in this concert of great movie music, will be none other than Maestro Robert Hasty. And we're going to talk with him for the next few minutes about how he put together this program of great movie music and the kind of challenges which it poses to him and to the orchestra. Maestro Hasty, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you for having me.
So once it was determined that this May 4th coincidence made it a great opportunity to do movie music, where do you even start in such a vast array of possibilities? Where do you even start in terms of figuring out how to put together an exciting and doable and satisfying program?
Well, the obvious way to go regarding that, when the board directed that May the 4th would be a great opportunity to do a movie music concert, the obvious reference is Star Wars. I am a Star Wars junkie, so I am always willing to do music from Star Wars, but you can't make an entire concert. Well, I guess you could. You could probably do an entire concert of Star Wars, but my job as music director is to guide audiences, guide the community, and to make them see that movie music is a legitimate form of music that they can learn about. So I'm using the music of Star Wars as a method to show the audience how important movie music has been across time. So we can have two distinctions in this concert. We have music that's written for the movies, and then we have existing music used in movies. So, for instance, we're not going to just reference music by John Williams. We're also going to be having composers such as Danny Elfman, John Barry, Michael Kamen, and the great Henry Mancini. These are all important composers that really kind of look to what we often would call legitimate classical composers who started writing for for movies. So I'm referring to composers like Bernard Herrmann for Psycho, William Walton for Henry V, Eric Korngold for Robin Hood, and Serge Prokofiev, Lieutenant TJ, which the Kenosha Symphony performed last December. You know, when I was growing up, I fell in love with orchestral music because of Star Wars and because of John Williams. And at the time, back in the late 70s, especially with two parents who were classically trained musicians, there was this stigma that it wasn't real, that it wasn't legitimate. And I just fought against that, especially the fact that a kid like me could fall in love with orchestral music and be more interested in classical music because of this amazing scoring. I probably would not be as interested in music the way that I am now if it wasn't for the music of John Williams. So I decided that putting this concert together, I'm going to use music that was written for the movie as well as music that's written that was used in the movies. So I'm using this as an opportunity to bring up Mozart. Mozart's music was used in the movie Amadeus, which was a movie about him, using him as a subject. So using the Symphony No. 25 in G minor, if you saw the movie Amadeus, you would recognize it immediately from the beginning of the movie. We're also doing a piece by Mascagni from his opera Cavalleria Rusticana. His intermezzo was used in the movie Raging Bull, as well as Godfather Part 3. So it's a great way for me as a music director to kind of find an excuse to show the audience there's important classical music that was used in movies that you were interested in. And here's where they have been used. But then you also have, as I mentioned, the list of composers, with the most obvious one being John Williams, that was written specifically for the movies. However, all of these composers, including John Williams, used their classical background to help inspire the story. So I'm going to just be a little music nerd right now and talk about the leitmotifs that Richard Wagner made famous with his operas.
Right.
John Williams used this all over the place, and one of the pieces that we're going to be doing on Saturday is music from The Phantom Menace, Star Wars Episode 1. And as I was getting this ready to conduct, I noticed that in one of the movements called Anakin's Theme, it's very lovely, it's very beautiful, it's about a boy who, spoiler alert, fast forward through this podcast if you don't know that he becomes Darth Vader. But the fact that John Williams knows that, as he develops this theme, I noticed at the very end of the melody, he uses the flat six followed by a flat third and then the tonic. So dee, da, da, dum. You have those, that minor triad or arpeggio used, and then that which he had already written for the the Imperial March in Episode 5 and so on and so forth, that we all think of as Darth Vader's theme. But and so when I realized more and more over time that John Williams is helping the story along by using this, what we call the leitmotif, I just think it's absolutely amazing, and I discover new things when I'm conducting the music of John Williams.
Tell us what kind of a challenge it is to put together a program like this, and this is not certainly the first time you've contended with this, but a program that, in a sense, is a succession of miniatures versus a program in which we start with an overture and then a concerto and then there's intermission and then there's a symphony, which might, in terms of time, be a comparable amount of music. But when we're talking about 3 minutes of this and 4 minutes of this and 5 minutes of this, all evening long, what kind of a special challenge is that for you and for your musicians?
Well, it's obviously there's going to be a larger quantity of titles that are in the program. And I would say that I have to look to my friends who are conducting choral music and our friends who are conducting wind band music, because most of their pieces and most choral works and most band works are usually between 7 and 10 minutes long. And so they're used to doing a huge variety of pieces, whereas you can go to an orchestra concert and hear only 3 pieces in there. And when I say only, that still is going to be a full concert because of what you just said, the traditional overture, concerto, and then a symphony. It's definitely more challenging, especially somebody who's classically trained like me. I need to do more research in what we often call pops repertoire. I think the fact that we call a lot of this music pops, which is true, but sometimes it makes it seem less legitimate, the importance of this music. What would movies be like without the music of Henry Mancini? What would the music be like if Korngold hadn't written the music of Robin Hood? So when I look back on this, you're going to have, as you said, a bunch of miniatures that reference specific movies. But what I hope to do is that the audience is going to leave going, this music is legitimate, just like Brahms or Beethoven, that we have to give this the due attention that it deserves. I mean, we have to think that this isn't the first time this has happened. We have to go back into the 1900s when Brahms realized that the most popular composer was Johann Strauss because he wrote dance music. We're kind of in that phase right now where we now have to look at movie music as legitimate. And interestingly, now it's about video game music. I have to admit, I'm not well versed on video game music, but you can see a lot of orchestras who are going that route as well. So, yeah, it is a challenge because you're looking at a lot of smaller pieces. But when we perform Star Wars at the end of this concert, when we're talking about Star Wars, the one that I grew up calling Star Wars, which now people call Episode 4, it's 24 minutes and it's 4 movements long. It feels like a symphony. Mm-hmm. So that helps a lot too.
Wow. Well, there's a lot to look forward to in Saturday night's concert, tomorrow night's concert by the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra. On the podium, Maestro Robert Hasty. Thank you, Maestro, for joining us for this portion of the morning show. Great to talk with you.
Thank you, Greg.
You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. This exquisite music by John Williams is from the film Schindler's List. This is the main theme. And this is one of the examples of magnificent movie music that will be part of tomorrow night's concert by the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra. And this main theme from Schindler's List is going to be played by the Kenosha Symphony and its concertmaster, Sasha Mandel, rendering that exquisite violin solo. And I'm honored to speak with Sasha Mandel for the next few minutes about this particular piece of music and what it is like for him to have this opportunity to play it. Sasha Mandel, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It's a pleasure to be with you here in the show.
And of course, people who have been frequent visitors to Kenosha Symphony concerts over the recent years have certainly seen you on the stage. How long have you been concertmaster for the Kenosha Symphony?
Oh, I think next year will be my 15th season, so 14 years.
Very good. A great legacy.
Yeah.
So I would be curious to know, as this concert began to take shape, at what point you became aware of this opportunity for you to play this marvelous, haunting, iconic solo from the score to Schindler's List?
In the beginning of this announced, we get the entire, repertoire lineup for what programs are going to be. I was very happy to see that Maestro Hasty had programmed this wonderful concert of, film music that we have coming up, or music that was featured in films. And, Schindler's List was listed there. I didn't know if it was going to be the entire music from it or not. But just the fact that we have the main theme from it there, and Maestro Hasty had me play that theme a few years ago in a different concert. So I was delighted that it was programmed and I got the opportunity to perform it again. And hopefully do a wonderful job at it.
Mm. Tell our listeners what it is about this piece and the way that John Williams has crafted this melody that gives it such a haunting beauty, and maybe also talk about the ways in which it is a stiff challenge to play. What sort of challenges does it pose, both technically and maybe expressively?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The piece itself, it's extremely poignant. It has a certain je ne sais quoi de melancholic sentiments to it. John Williams, of course, is a master of melody, and in particular how effective he is to play with the emotions. It's highly evocative, and even if one had not seen the movie and known what it was about, the music itself just calls this to this deep, introspective, reflective of how the melodic line works. So, having the challenges, let's say, for the violinist to play is always with a descending fifth, right, interval he has. It starts with an A and a D, ta-da-da-da. And that interval the interval that we tune our strings, most of the string instruments, but it's not like we're playing that way because you want to be very expressive. It comes here to the performer, in playing that perfect interval absolutely in tune, creating a relationship that one feels that sorrow, sort of almost a yearning and crying aspect to it. It's interesting to note that Gustav Mahler used that same idea of that interval in his Eighth Symphony, Symphony of a Thousand. He has a passage in the second section that sounds very much similar, and of course, that John Williams was a great admirer of Mahler's orchestrations and the melodic material too. But the extent that he has, it poses a challenge to the performer, since, let's say, most string players, what we call chin people, violinists and violas, Violas is we're always fingering in the space of four notes in the left hand. And to have that interval of the fifth poses a certain stretch to the hand that very big hands. I don't have the biggest hand. Can be easy, but can also be a challenge. When Itzhak Perlman, of course, was chosen to record the music by John Williams, I mean, Itzhak has a gigantic hand. I mean, his hands are very large, you know, very supple, almost feels sort of like as soft as a boxing glove, actually. But his extent is huge in the left hand. So Itzhak, you know, can flinch to play those intervals, and he plays it so sweetly. Also, another challenge is the orchestration that John Williams has. It the violin can't necessarily play the tune as, you know, powerfully as we were been doing, let's say, in a Brahms violin concerto, or let's say even a solo from Tick Piece. It is a very tender movement and melody in that sense, although it goes from the lowest, you know, note on the violin, actually quite high register, but one has to be very polished in playing and never, you know, going beyond, you know, the natural tonal capacities of what the violin has. It is a melody that, for having had relatives that were victims of the Holocaust, is something that hits very personal to me. It is a personal feeling, you know, playing that and knowing what the film was about, of course, and the history of my ancestors. It's something that, you know, it moves you while you're playing. So one can't get, you know, it's necessarily sidetracked by heavy memories of what your ancestors went through in that time and how it connects vividly to the movie. So, I mean, one has to put on that hat of performer at the time and make sure that the music comes forward in a very effective manner.
Right. Well, I know a whole lot of people, myself included, are eagerly awaiting all of tomorrow night's concert, but in particular, this particular moment when you will be playing with the symphony this haunting theme from Schindler's List. Sasha Mandel, I appreciate you joining me today on the morning show. I wish you and all of your colleagues the very best with tomorrow night's concert.
Thank you so much, Greg. Bye-bye.
If you would like information about tomorrow night's concert by the Kenosha Symphony Orchestra, 7:30 at Ruther High School Auditorium, you can call the Kenosha Symphony at 262-220-7526 or visit their website, kenoshasymphony.org. And tickets for tomorrow night's concert will also be available at the door. Finishing out this first portion of today's morning show, here is the remainder of the exquisite main theme to Schindler's List, Music of John Williams.